Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. With me, I have my good friend and co-host, Rossi, with me. We're going to be talking about Quiet on the Set. This is actually the Dark Side of Kids TV show. This is actually on Nickelodeon. It's now streaming on HBO Max. You guys can watch it where you guys get your streaming services for HBO Max. Go on ahead, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We're going to be going on ahead. We're going to be talking about this documentary series, so let's do it. Hey, Rossi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good tonight. I'm happy to be able to do this with you. I missed doing some of these shows with you. It's great just to be back in the studio and talking to you.
Same here. Same here. Absolutely. I was so excited. I remember we spoke about this. It was like, we got to do this.
To be honest with you, I feel like this is one of those things that we have to talk about because it's important to talk about it. You know? And it's not the fact that it's entertaining or anything like that.
A second, guys, we lost John. He'll be right back. But as John was saying, it's not the fact that it's just entertaining. It's just, it's amazing because this is, at least for me, and I know John, you know, John definitely grew up on watching Nickelodeon. And go ahead, John.
Yeah, sorry about that. But back to what I was saying. This to me is like one of those this documentary series that we have to talk about. And it's very eye-opening. And I feel like that what better way to do this than with you because of the fact that, you know, I grew up on the 90s, Nickelodeon days. Right. Like, when I was a kid, Nickelodeon was a network that I always found myself watching as a kid in the 90s. For example, I made sure that I was home on Saturday in time for Nick at Night. It was like 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time in Boston. As a kid, I'm like, Mom, I don't care what kind of grocery shopping that we're doing. And I know I'm here for 2 months in Boston, but I have to watch Nick at Night. I got to watch Are You Afraid of the Dark? Then I have to watch Closer Explains It All. And here I am going a mile a minute. My mom's like, okay, oh, we'll do that.
Right.
And, you know, and then I fell in love with, I would watch Closer Explains It all that, The Secret World of Alex Mack, The Adventures of Pete and Pete. That was my era. That was my era of watching Nickelodeon.
Right.
And also watching Doug, Rugrats, Real Monsters. But yeah, what was the era for you, though, when you're looking at this?
My era of Nickelodeon was You Can't Do That on TV. It was the Dare. I forget the Double Dares. There was a couple of other shows. They were kind of like your early kid Survivor type of shows. I can't remember the name. They have like this jungle theme and the kids have to go through these courses.
The Legends of the Hidden Temple.
There you go. Legends
That's
of the Hidden
Temple.
That's
what I watched. I watched that and Guts.
Yes. Yeah. So, definitely You Can't Do That on TV. And when the Slimes first came out was when I was in junior high school. So, Nickelodeon for you and I, different ages, you know, but it was very important. I remember coming home from school and couldn't wait to see You Can't Do That on TV. It was just the strangest show, but it was so funny. It connected with us young teenagers, preteens at that time. So it was a lot of fun and it was comedic with the waiting to see who was going to get slimed was also so much fun. So love Nickelodeon. Absolutely.
Same here. And then, you know, I remember watching all that as a kid. This is like SNL for kids. This was something that was special to me as a kid. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what I want to do. This is what I want. I just wanted to be a part of that.
Right.
And then once I've seen this documentary, I knew it was going to change the way I watched things and the way that because I hold those memories close to my heart because I actually watched Brotherly Love. I watched all that.
Right.
But it was just one of those things that I knew once I watched it, it was going to strip away my nostalgia, but it wasn't like, well, my question was like this, like how deep does the rabbit hole go? And if it, right, and how much of the nostalgia will it strip away?
Yeah.
And it stripped away every single thing that I liked about all that to the point
where, you
know,
my kids loved all that and loved Brotherly Love. And, you know, they grew up watching Nickelodeon. And as a parent, a lot of parents also sat and watched that with the kids. It was actually entertaining for parents as well. I myself watched Brotherly Love. All that was so much fun. Like John says, I mean, a kid's Saturday Night Live. They were very talented and very funny. So, yeah, I think this documentary hit hard for all of us, you know, kids, parents alike.
Definitely. And, you know, now looking back on it and seeing things that were being done to these kids, it made me sad because now I've realized I don't want to be part of that. As a kid, we're laughing our butts off. We're laughing at Keenan. We're laughing at Good Burger. We're laughing at all this stuff.
Right.
Especially that little girl that I always laughed at and everything too. C-Bar, what's up, y'all? Hey, C-Bar.
What's up, Clint?
But you know, I fell in love with all that, and then now it's now gone, and I'm glad that it's gone in a way because of the fact that now the veil is now over my eye. That was what's in front of me is now lifted.
Right. I was just when I heard about the Quiet on the Set, you know, and that it was they're talking about Nickelodeon. I remember thinking I didn't want to see it. You know what I mean?
Me too.
I was like, I don't want to see that. It took me forever to watch it, to be honest with you guys. I recently watched it because I heard so much about it, but I was like, I don't want to see this. And then when it's so weird because when you start it, you're glued because, like John said, you know these kids. Who doesn't know Amanda Bynes? I don't care what generation you're in. You know Amanda Bynes. You know what I mean? You know these kids, and it was just sad and just depressing to hear that this went on. And I mean, nothing new to Hollywood. You know, you have your Drew Barrymore's. You know, we know she went through a lot. A lot of kid actors went through a lot. You know, the young lady, Dana Plato from Different Strokes. I mean, her life story, even going as far back as, I mean, this is way back, guys, but you know, like the Little Rascals, you know what I mean? Back in the day, you know? So kid actors, it's nothing new that they've gone through things and they've had it tough, but there are a lot of kid actors that also have, you know, done well for themselves. And, you know, but I believe they had parents that were on set with them at all times. And I was very surprised, you know, that the access that, you know, adults have to these kids without parents set.
And the thing that made me really upset though too, like I want to piggyback off of something that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I also had a struggle of wanting to watch this as well. It's like I don't want to touch on this because of the fact that this is my childhood. This is something that I'm afraid if I watch this, that everything I loved is going to be diminished.
Right.
And I just wanted to hold on to my childhood.
Right.
But then I'm like, you know what? There's a reason why this is on here. So I think I need to go on in and watch it.
Right.
And this is before you messaged me and say, hey, do you want to do this?
Yeah.
I'm actually watching the first episode and trying to get through the first episode. And as I'm doing this, I'm being angry at Dan Schneider. And I'm like, okay, I need to review this and take my anger out on Dan Schneider as I'm reviewing this.
Right. Right. You know what?
So I'm like, yeah, I'll do it.
What's when I watched, like, guys, for real, guys, when I watched this, I grinded it out. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm waiting for, I think when I watched it, it was just, they were getting ready to do the third episode. So I watched the first two episodes. And then when the third episode, when they were showing what was coming up and revealing, you know, one of the kids. Mind freaking blown. It's one thing to hear about it, but when you see a face to the abuse and what type of abuse it was. Oh my, all abuse is bad, but this for a young man, oh my gosh, and you find out who it is. I was just, I think I cried a little because
I did too.
You know, like you, as a parent, you know, you come to love these kids because your kids love these kids.
Not only that, though.
You know?
Well, not only that, Rossi, but think of it like this, though, too. You feel safe knowing that your kids are watching something that is for them.
Right.
And yes, they might have something for the parents to watch for the humor and stuff like that.
Right.
Because they're stuck watching this for an hour with their kids. So they have to have something to incorporate for the adults.
Right.
You know? But it's one thing to take something that's supposed to be innocent and take that and twist it out into something sexual.
Right.
That's then it becomes, a problem. Then it becomes something that's more than just adults watching something with their kids and having something for the adults for humor. Now it's become twisted.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with you. And also I want to just make sure that I heard for him, because when you're watching that, you as a child and, you know, parents, and you see that this kid all the time, you're thinking he seems happy. You've seen interviews. You see him at the Kids' Choice Awards. He seems so happy. And you don't think that this would happen, you know, like, you know, but you don't think that when you're watching these kids, you know, they seem, they're performing well. So to know that he had this going on, you hurt for him, because it's like, how was he able to shoot another show? Like, how did this happen? Because you don't want that to happen.
No.
You know what I mean?
Let me tell you something I didn't like about Dan, okay? He's in there with all the other writers in the writing boards during this table reads and stuff like that.
Right.
And what he said to those women are not funny.
Oh, gosh.
Right. And then also, too, to hire women as writers and then to piggyback off of them to make the same paycheck.
Yeah.
That pissed me off. I'm like, no.
When those women were talking about, those writers were talking about what they went through, but the fact that they had to share a paycheck, basically, you know, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. Like, who does that? And then you're thinking, absolutely unbelievable. You know, you're like, this can't be real. This was not going on at Nickelodeon. And so it takes a while to like digest what you're hearing. And then you're questioning everything. I know I did, but the fact that they did it, and I understand they're in a situation where they're new writers, you know, like the one woman had mentioned that, you know, she had been working temp jobs, you know, and I have to say, as an artist, and you get a break like that, oh my gosh, it's the biggest thing in the world. You'd be crazy not to take that. And I understand why they didn't feel like they wanted to say anything, because you don't want to, like the one woman say, you don't want to be the woman there that's complaining. You know what I mean? Right. You don't want to be that person, because you don't.
Just like the parents, you know, though. Think of it like this, though, Rossi. It's just like the parents are like, well, if I complain, that ruins that experience for the kid, for my kid.
Oh, absolutely.
So therefore, he won't get no jobs. It's the same thing for the writers, too. It's like, well, we're forced to laugh at this. We're forced to go ahead and put these sexual jokes in there with the water being on the girl's face.
Oh, my
gosh. We're having
to do
the potato. We are having to do this forced potato joke, even though we don't like it and we find it distasteful. But we have to laugh along with it, even though we don't like it. And Dan's in charge. And also, too, it's hard to watch all that when Dan's face is on that fucking thing, where he's at the production, where he's actually the sound guy. And at first, I didn't know he was the production guy on
that.
I thought he was just the sound guy. And it's like, oh, okay, so he's just the sound guy. Okay, whoop-de-doo. They're just showing us behind-the-scenes stuff.
Right.
Like you said, though, Rossi, once you put a face to who he is, and then you realize there's no way of editing this intro down.
Right.
To the point where Dan's not in the intro anymore for all that.
Right.
And this is the whole entire theme song. So even if you want to edit this and put this back out there again, you can't.
Right. And just to like let you guys know, if you guys didn't see Quiet on a Set or you don't know who Dan Snyder is, let me just tell you a little bit about him. His name is Daniel James Snyder. He was born January 14th, 1966. He's an American television producer, screenwriter, and actor. So Snyder created and produced a string of children's shows on Nickelodeon from 1994 to 2019. In the years since 2018, he has faced significant media coverage and controversy regarding numerous allegations of inappropriate behavior, as well as other misconduct allegations. So that's just a little bit about him. And guys, he got his head of the class was a show that he was on. It ran from 1986 to 1991. I think he also wrote a couple of episodes of Head of the Class. That's who Dan Snyder is. Very talented man, a genius creating these shows, because the shows that he created, whatever he touched, they like really just, they just blew up. Right. And so he did that with all that. But his biggest accomplishment was Amanda Bynes, The Amanda Show. What do you think about that, John, when we saw little Amanda Bynes doing her stand-up, you know, at the comedy club in L.A. for kid comedians, and how little she was and how cute she was, and to know that.
That's the thing, though, Rossi. They pick targets that they know that they can that they can pick on.
Right.
And they're innocent. They right. pick on their innocence, and also, too, they know that they can get away with that.
Right.
With that. And then if the, let's say, for instance, okay, we're going to go over to a parent that's strong-willed, right?
Right.
And there's also this other parent that may show weakness, so therefore they need to go on ahead and conquer the one that's stronger, and yes. then try and get the person that's also weak to be on their side, and that's how the kids are easily influenced, because the other parent is actually weak.
And but you have to say, though, with Amanda Bynes' parents, you know, like they mentioned, her parents were her father at least, was very involved. He was always on set. He yep. was everywhere Amanda was, because he was, you know, he wanted her career to take off as well, because come to find out, Dad wanted to be a stand-up comedian, and it didn't work for him. So he had a daughter. She was very talented, and so, you know, you live through your kids, sort of. So anyways, she was talented, though, and so, but he was on the set all the time. You know, he was always around when she was younger, that is. So I did want to mention that. A lot of the other kids' parents, like John said, they didn't want to rock the boat. So if there was a meeting and they said, we don't want the parents in here, the parents would leave. But guess what parent would stay? Amanda's parent. Because Amanda ended up being the prize, you know, right. a prize. And also, remember, there were meetings where the other kids would be in school and Amanda wouldn't be there. Because remember, Dan would, how it went was this. If Dan liked you and he picked you, you had a show and you were going to be a star. If he wasn't really into you like that and you just playing background, couldn't care less. You're not going to get that opportunity. And that happened to a lot of those other kids that put in a lot of time. And this was their first job. And to be treated like that, because they're kids, all kids want to feel special. And they're not stupid. They can tell when there's one that's teacher's pet.
Right, exactly. You know? Because it comes into that whole entire thing of...
Right. Well, not, and it's not Amanda's fault. I don't want right. to... It's not her fault that no. happened. It's just, you know...
This is the way it was. Because
it's the way it was.
She just had that spark.
Right.
Her comedic timing was just perfect.
Absolutely.
Even when you see her on stand-up. You saw it on
Absolutely.
Stand-up. You've
yeah.
seen it on all the, you've seen it on her TV shows.
Right.
So he's like, okay, this is my lightning in the bottle here. I
right.
need to go on ahead... And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and make her the front person for
right.
any show that I have on here, because I know that she's going to knock it out of the park.
Right.
But in order for me to do that, I also have to go on ahead and exterminate certain people in her life to get the ball rolling.
Right.
So I can be that far more attached to it. So I can be the smartest person in the room while belittling other people too at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that it's sad, because this goes on a lot with younger kids that are the cute one on the show, and then they grow up. For instance, the Huxtables. You know, Rudy was just absolutely adorable on the show. Everyone loved Rudy. When Rudy hit a certain age, then they brought in the young lady. I can't think of her name. The other little girl that was super talented. Raven Simone. They then brought on Raven Simone, who was the little cute one. So it's sad, because that child actor that was that cute little child actor grows up, and then they have to, you know, fill that spot with another cute child actor. So how does that child feel when they're aging out?
Right. It's like, okay, what am I going to do now?
That has to be stressful. That has to be, and you're so young, you don't know who you are, that you have to go through something that makes you feel a certain type of way. Because just a few years ago, I was like the darling. And then I got to be 11 years old and, you know, I don't have as many scenes as I used to.
Right. Because now I'm getting older. No one's going to want to pay attention to me.
Right.
And therefore, it's time to phase out the original and go in with somebody that's newer.
Right. And that's exactly what happened with, you know, Dan Snyder and All That. Because the first All That, there was a young girl that was on there. I can't think of her name, but she was the...
I know you're talking about.
Okay. She was the little Amanda Bynes. And so she was the cute one. She got all the spots. I remember she said when she did her audition, Dan came out and told her that she's special. She's going to be a star. And so he put everything behind her, you know. So she got what? She got on set more. She got more lines. No pun intended, but all that, okay?
She got all that and more. Let's see here. Let's see here. We have Angelique Bates, Lori Beth Denberg, Katrina Johnson, Kel Mitchell, Alyssa Reyes.
Was it Katrina Johnson?
Yeah, that was it.
It was Katrina Johnson, the very first All That. Katrina Johnson was the first Amanda Bynes, and she spoke on Quiet on the Set, letting us know how it went down for her. And basically, as she got older and he found Amanda, they just kind of forgot about her. They just forgot about her. And that affected her. It affected her a lot.
It affected her to the point where she wanted to get out of acting.
Yes.
And didn't want to do it anymore because of everything. They're like, well, if this is what it's like to be as a kid, I don't want to even be touching this anymore.
Right.
It was just that horrifying for her.
Right.
Too.
But she admitted that, you know, she saw, everyone was telling her, you got to see this new girl. Her name's Amanda Bynes. She saw Amanda's audition at the comedy club, and she admit that, you know, wow, this girl is really good. Her comedic timing is perfect. Like, she's great. So she gave Amanda her props, but still it hurt to see that she was no longer the favorite. It's kind of like, you know, we don't even know her name anymore.
Katrina Johnson was actually the first All That cast member. She was actually that lightning in the bottle for Dan at that time.
Yes, absolutely.
She had that comedic timing as well.
Yes, she was. Very talented.
She was basically the all-star girl from 94 to 97.
Wow.
You know, and then she phased out, and then now he's looking for the next star, and then as soon as she winds up seeing the audition tape, she's like, oh, snap, I'm in trouble because now I'm fizzled out.
Right.
And now you're going to put this other girl who's... which I don't blame him because she's her community.
Absolutely.
Her jokes are landing. Everybody's loving her. So it's like, where's my place for me now? And where do I go from here? Because All That is not going to be All That for me anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But so I'm not trying to make puns, but I mean, I'm just saying. From a standpoint. You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. Absolutely, I do.
But it's just sad to see that kids are on the shopping block like it's assembly line. It's like, okay, well, we got this new action figure and everything, and it comes with everything. It's perfect. It's lined up. And then all of a sudden, you have another one that lines up out a year or two later.
Right.
And that one's now gone. So they treat these kids as like an assembly line as if they're a product. And that's basically what they are.
They are. They're absolutely a product. You know, they absolutely are. But let's talk about the inappropriate jokes that the kids didn't get, but the adults got. I mean, you know, John had mentioned the potato. You know, you have Ariana Grande with the potato, you know, and the way, what's up, Randy?
Hey, babe.
And the way that she's holding a potato is just absolutely, like, at the time, when you saw that at the time, you didn't think about it. You didn't think about her with the water. You didn't think about any of that. Not at all. And even me as an adult didn't think about that. It just didn't, because you're not thinking that they're doing this to these kids. You know, you're not seeing it, you know. And now seeing it, it's like, oh my gosh, that's absolutely inappropriate. Or the feet. What's the obsession with the feet?
Right. Because I like how in the documentary, I couldn't help but laugh though, Rossi, at this. It's like, oh, we didn't know Dan was obsessed with feet. I'm like, really? But what? I'm like, Was it because of the logo on the Nickelodeon?
Right.
You might as well have Quentin Tarantino on that poster too with you. I'm just saying, right. We didn't have any clue that Dan was obsessed with feet. Really? Your logo was a foot.
And when you see it, though, when you see it, when they put all the scenes together and you see, I know, right? I know how bad it really was. But when you see it, it's kind of like when they show the compilation and all the feet scenes that they had. The adult doctor character touching the bottom of the girl's foot and saying, oh, so nice and soft. It's like, now you're like, what?
Exactly. It's weird. It's like, okay, I don't want to put it in this kind of context, but it's really pedophile. It's basically porn for kids.
Yes.
If you put it in that kind of context, because you're going to a doctor and he's massaging the foot.
Right.
And it goes into that barrier line of, you know what I'm saying?
And when you see it now, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Or the pickle man.
It's definitely cringy.
Why that? Why the pickle guy? Thing?
And then, hold on, Rossi. And then you also have the guy who plays on Raymond Romano.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And he doesn't probably have a clue of what's going on.
He's just doing a bit.
And he's putting it through a hole, like glory hole. I'm like.
When I saw that, first of all, I know damn well Ray Romano didn't know it was going to be like that. But also, you know, he went on Nickelodeon. So I know he wasn't thinking of it like that. But when you see that scene, and when I saw the hole, and he puts the pickle in, I'm like, come on.
Right.
It's right in front of you. And then the poor kid that always had to be in the bodysuit. He's a little growing boy. How embarrassing for him. But do you remember the one where they had, I forget what character he was going to play, but they had the shoulders, had the.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, like the shoulder pad thing.
The shoulder pads that had the balls. Yeah. It clearly was that. You put that on the kid. The kid doesn't know the joke because his mind's not there because he's innocent.
He's actually just thinking he's doing a bit. Yeah.
He's doing it, and you guys did that to him, and he was so uncomfortable. But you know what? He didn't say anything because he didn't want to complain. He did. And remember, some of these kids come from situations where this is everything. Like, we're feeding a family. Like, this kid is feeding mom, dad, this kid making it. There's one kid that this was his way of getting his family out of the projects. You know what I mean? So this was a big deal. This was no joke. And when you do somebody like that, that has everything riding on it, and he feels like he's responsible because he has to carry the weight of the family on his back, it's horrible when they don't call him back up and he don't know that he's not included in the second season. And so you just, his dream's gone.
Exactly. All that anticipation of him getting out of the ghetto, getting out of the place that he was and trying to do stuff for his family is now gone. That's diminished.
Yes.
And it's just sad to see that happen like that. And the way Hollywood works in that kind of way, whenever you look at the way that the assembly line works in that kind of context, the way they do it. But also, too, you mentioned another thing, the water scene, too.
Oh, my gosh, right. With Ariana.
On the face. You know, at that time, I'm not watching Nickelodeon at that time or whatever. I was actually grown out of Nickelodeon at that time.
Okay.
But if I was a kid watching that, it would just think that, okay, it's just a water scene. There's nothing to it.
Exactly, right. Kids do, obviously, they thought it was just a water scene. The Amanda playing Professor Taint.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, she doesn't know what that is. No. The writers knew. And the female writers felt so bad because they knew what it was, and they were wondering why he would make that joke. And I remember they had a studio head come in and ask Dan, you know, is that what I think it means? And he's like, no, of course not. Why would you think something like that? Like, it's a kid's show. It's exactly what it was. So this little girl is going around playing Professor or Detective Taint.
Exactly.
Little things like that, guys.
It's sickening to think that this is actually something funny.
Right.
That this guy thought that was funny.
Right.
There was also another thing I want to talk about is like Robert Schwartz was also another creeper.
Yes.
Too.
Yes. Wasn't that, was that the abuser of Drake Bell?
Yeah. Basically, it was where they found, I think the father said that he found like a John Wayne Gacy letter. Like,
yes. No, it wasn't a father. It was, it was actually one of, I forget the young man, but it was one of the new cast members from the new All That.
Yeah, that's and, right.
He said that the gentleman, the guy, what's his name, John? The Predator?
The directors reached out to him. Okay, so Robert Schwartz and the
Robert
production
Schwartz,
teams.
Okay. Yep. Robert Schwartz, who worked with the kids on at Nickelodeon and had time alone with these kids. He was an acting coach and a voice coach, speech coach as well for the kids. So he throws this party at his house, invites the cast, these kids and their parents, and come to his house. The kid goes in one room and sees that he has this picture of a clown, and he doesn't know who it is. But anyways, it's John Wayne Gacy, and he finds out that they're pen pals. So that was super creepy. Schwartz was so proud of the fact that he was pen pals with John Wayne Gacy that he went and got all the letters and, you know, that they have written to each other. So, I mean, that's a red flag, but I mean.
Oh, it was Ryan Sullivan. Sorry about that.
Sorry, okay, Ryan Sullivan, my bad. Ryan yeah. Sullivan, and he's the man that abused Drake Bell, right?
Right. He was the one who had the get John Wayne Gacy and stuff like that.
Yes, that would be him. Yeah, that would be him. And speaking of Drake Bell, we find out in episode 3 that Drake Bell was the child that was abused in many ways by his name again.
It's actually Brian Peck. Brian Peck was the name.
Brian Peck. We keep saying all these names.
I'm sorry.
All right.
It's just a long list of names. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Here we go. So in the third episode, Drake Bell reveals he was sexually abused by former Nickelodeon dialogue coach Brian Peck. No relation to Bell's Drake and Josh co-star, Josh Peck. Peck was arrested and charged in 2003 for child sexual abuse. But the victim's name had been sealed. So we find out that the victim was Drake Bell. So, yeah. And then here's a crazy thing. Letters to the presiding judge in support of Peck were also revealed, including from actors James Marsden, Kenny Robertson, Taryn Killam, Alan Thicke, Joanna Kearns, Ryder Strong, and Will Friedle, along with Bell. Director Rich Correll and producer Tom DeSanto. And I want to mention also that Kearns issued a statement, Joanna Kearns from Growing Pains, issued a statement to the documentary maker in this episode that she was unaware of the full extent of the case at the time and now regrets her letter of support. So I just want to put that out there.
And so does Will, too. He also mentioned it as well. Because in
Will Friedle, in the podcast
I listened to, because I'm a huge Boy Meets World fan, Will was talking about it and the fact that he also reinstates his thing as well. So does so does Ryder Strong.
Okay,
but the thing is, he's like, if I would have known what I know now, I wouldn't have done it. But my thing is this: if someone's convicted of something. And I know at that time you don't have Google. There's no way to search anything
out
or anything like that. And I understand that everybody has a different working experience than somebody else does.
Yes, of course.
And everything. But if the dude asked, hey, I need you to represent me in court and write a letter of response, I'd be like, well, number one, you're being convicted of pornography. You're being, I cannot support this.
Right.
We cannot talk right now until you are actually convicted innocent.
Right.
Or talk at another time because
Absolutely.
Of this.
Absolutely.
Because that's the way I would handle it, because of the fact is we have all these allegations against you. I'm going to be guilty by association because of the fact that I'm writing a letter response.
Right.
And I don't know the information or anything like that. All I know is you're telling me that you're innocent. Yes, I had a good working relationship with you, but does not mean that everybody else had a good working experience.
Right.
So therefore, I'm going to have to say, look, until you're proven innocent, we cannot talk. You go your way, I go my way, and that's it.
Right. And we also had another abuser that was on the set, and this one was crazy because this guy, he was a production assistant, Jason Michael Handy. He had a diary, and he wrote in his diary, he described himself as a pedophile, full-blown, while also sending sexually explicit photographs to a former child actress. Handy would be sentenced to 6 years in prison for other charges in 2004. So this guy had access to the kids. He would bring the kids to the stage, get the kids from stage. He would go and actually have lunch with the parents. And what's crazy about it was, as he's having lunch with the parents, he's asking them questions about their kids to know them a little bit more, you know? And to me, that's, which one can I groom?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Look to get some info. Exactly. Just to know, you guys, that this guy was trusted with all of these kids, and he describes himself as a full-blown pedophile. This is the second guy at Nickelodeon, and I believe they found others as well that worked at Nickelodeon where they were a PA assistant or whatnot. They also didn't abuse the kids on Nickelodeon, but they had been convicted of, you know, other acts with other kids. And I found that just to be the craziest thing. But if you're a pedophile, where would you like to work?
With kids.
With kids. Disneyland. Right. You know what I mean? Like, with kids. It's just...
open access.
Yeah, but you would think on a professional set that everyone, especially when there's kids, that people would be vetted. Also, that parents would stay with the kids. But I understand that they didn't want to ruin it for their kids.
Right, because they were afraid that they would ruin their shots with other TV shows.
Right.
And also, too, you know, they didn't also talk a good game.
Yes.
And everything, too. It's like, well, I could put you on this show, that show,
no.
And everything. So it was like, well, I have no choice. I have to go with Danny Boy here.
Yes.
And and I have to do whatever he wants me to do.
Right.
And that's it. And right. It's just sad to see that. And then also, too, you also have this other, the other person that's calling out Drake. And, you know, we're going to get into this a little bit later, I think.
Yes.
But absolutely. It's where
that's that.
He's calling this kid nonstop to the point where the kid didn't want to bother with the guy anymore because of all the sexual stuff that he was doing to him and things like that. And, you know, and then they took the girlfriend's mother, Drake's girlfriend at the time, the right. mother to intervene and say, hey, look, what's going on here? It's not right for a grown-ass man to be calling you nonstop.
Right.
And so he finally broke down and told her.
My problem. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Go on ahead.
Okay. Well, here's my problem with this situation. When Drake got into acting, it was something he and his dad did. His dad was totally into it. I think his dad wanted to be in entertainment or whatever. But he knew Drake was good, and he put everything into Drake. He would be on set with him. Everything that was going on with Drake as far as acting, Drake's dad was highly involved. Drake's parents get a divorce. And so when they got a divorce, the mother wanted to take over Drake's career. You know, Drake's dad reluctantly went ahead and did that. But he did tell his ex-wife, I'm really creeped out about this Brian Peck guy. I want to make sure that you never let Drake alone with him. Never let him give Drake a ride anywhere. Well, she did that. She trusted Brian Peck and decided he's safe. It's okay. So that's how Brian Peck had all that access with Drake Bell. And it was a lot of freaking access to this young man. So it took Drake's girlfriend's mom to see what was going on and to say, Drake, why is this man calling you so much? Like John said. Why it's, you know, and not only is he calling this boy, He is blowing up this teenager's phone.
Like he's in a relationship.
Yes,
like a grown-ass right, man
exactly.
being in a relationship
it's
with this.
Like trying to reach him. Craziness. Absolute craziness. But it took a girlfriend's mom to say something to save this kid from what was going on. And then he finally opened up, you know?
And, you know, I think it's the fact that the parents were on the inside and she attached.
Chronicles.
Hey, Chronicles, how you doing? But you know what I'm thinking though, Rossi? I think because the parents are so close to the situation.
Yes.
Too. It's like, I don't want to say anything because I'm afraid of this, right? But
right.
it has to be an outsider who has to be the one who lays down the law. Because think of it like this. An outsider does not have any ties to a studio. They don't have any ties to any other kids.
Right.
They can tell them to go F off if they wanted to go ahead and F off.
Right.
So, therefore, it made sense for her to actually put her foot down opposed to the parents, because even though the parents are turning a blind eye, they're afraid and the emotional damage that it's doing on the parents, and also, too, the relationship between the kids, too, because you're also tearing away from the parents.
I totally get that, and I agree with Chronicles. A lot of them, a lot of the parents, unfortunately, turned a blind eye. They absolutely did. My bone I have to pick is, and not to jump on any parent, you know, but
no.
I'm going to say this. Drake Bell's father told the mother, do not leave him alone with him. I find him to be odd and creepy. There's something he's too interested in Drake. This man is driving hours to go see this kid perform when he was playing with his band.
Yeah.
You know, the mother... For whatever reason she didn't, her and the dad didn't get along, because of that breakdown in that relationship, this kid suffered. That's all I'm saying. Because of that breakdown, and Drake Bell does not blame his mother from what I can see. He loves his mother. I understand that. I'm just saying, because of the parental breakdown, this kid was having sleepovers with this man because the mother wasn't, you know.
Right. You and I talked about this, though, too, Rossi, too, like a couple of days ago when we were talking. But I ended up saying this to you, too, and I'm also going to say this, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically, whatever beef that the father and mother have with each other, the mother refused to listen to the husband because
That's
of
all
the
I'm
fact
sure. yes.
that they had their issues
yes.
with each other. So, therefore, yes. damn whatever he says, because she doesn't know jack shit. But he's the one who's been there from day
yes.
one with his career. You're not going to listen to this man when he's been with his son from day one and saying, hey,
right.
look, not let this near this douchebag. This douchebag
right.
is going to do something to Drake.
Right.
He's like, well, I'm going to let my own emotions get in the way.
Right.
No. You need to go on ahead. You need to listen to your husband on this one.
Right.
Put aside your differences with him and say, hey, look, this guy might know what he's talking about. He's been near
right.
my son this whole entire time with his career. So maybe he knows what the fuck he's talking about.
Right. And I, you know, I'll give it to her. You know, listen, the man groomed her, man groomed the kid. I'll give that to her. Maybe she was groomed by him. He made her feel safe. You know, hey, I know you're busy. I know you're going through a lot. Let me go on and take Drake to school.
Right.
Let me go on and take him to his, you know what
it
I mean?
Wasn't even
because,
about that. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll give her that. Maybe that is what happened to her. Her and her son were both groomed. I just hate that he suffered, like we spoke about, because of the relationship between the dad and the mother. But I also want to say, for the father in this case, that man ripped that kid's relationship with his father, just totally tore that relationship up to where he wasn't even seeing Drake anymore. And seeing him and watching him, well, watching the interview with him and how emotional he was, because as a father... You know, you're responsible for your family, for your kid. And so he felt like he let his son down because his son's been going through this the whole time and the father did not know anything about this. How must he have felt as a father that this happened, right?
Right. And, you know, the father can blame himself, but at the end of the day, he can't blame himself, even though he's like, I understand he's in it. And I understand that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, you have to put some blame on the other parent.
Oh, of course.
You know, even though
Absolutely.
He's beating himself up over it because he caved in.
Right. I feel sorry for the father. I cried because I felt so sorry for him, because you see, you know, you hear about how close they were and how great He was like that dad that you want on set. If you're an actor, you want a dad like that. You want a dad like that, because that man was on set with his son all the time. This man had tried to have access to Drake, and his father was not letting it happen. So you see why Peck decided to let me focus on the mother here.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
I do want to point this out, and I know this has nothing to do with the doc itself. Yeah. But from just listening from Pod Meets World and their aspect of working with each other and stuff like that, they said that they had the most hands-on set people there that actually cared about the kids and put the kids first. And also, not to mention this, but they also had the parents involved
with
every single step that they were doing.
Yeah, right.
So they created a safe space. Yes, you might actually had Michael Jacobs that was a douchebag to Topanga, to the girl who plays Topanga, whatever, stuff like that. But at the same time, you still had some creative control with the parents and had a relationship with the parents.
Right.
This is, and I'm going to say this, this is actually something that Chronicles said too. Sadly, so many predators ruin family dynamics. Yes.
Absolutely.
By stripping away from their family,
absolutely,
cause a weight of, like, basically the kid, they already know what the kid wants. They want to be the star. They want to be the rise of that.
Right.
So they don't, so basically isselate the kid from the parent.
Yep.
Then you put yourself as the parent.
Yep.
Even though you're not the parent, you're just a pedo. You're
right.
And get rid of them. And then next thing you know, you become their guardian and you do whatever the hell you want.
I just want to also say that I think Drake Bell was so brave to show his face. I mean, he just doesn't know how many kids and people he helped when he did that. That had to be a big deal to show his face and to admit, I'm the kid. I'm the kid. I'm the John Doe in the court documents. That's me. Seeing him do that was like, wow. How hard, but how brave that is for you to do that. I'm so proud of him for doing that. Because he helped so many other kids that's going through that or have gone through that or currently in that situation that's on a set somewhere. You know what I mean? So I want to definitely shout him out and just that's just awesome that he did that.
I agree. I really do. That takes tremendous courage to do something like that. And to speak out against something so privately and something that happen behind closed doors to be sexually abused like that.
Right.
You know?
Right. And for a young man to do that, you know what I mean? We don't talk about young men that are being sexually abused. It's always females, you know, young ladies, young girls. But this happens to more men, more guys than you could ever imagine. It really does. So him putting a face to that hopefully also helped young men, you know, say something, speak up and mention something. Don't be ashamed. It's not your fault you didn't do anything. You know what I mean? Because for guys, it's hard.
Let's see here. Brandy also says, Jerry Trainer tried to protect the kids on iCarly as well.
Right.
Let's see. Chronicles of Virgo says, I felt his pain so bad. It's not easy for us survivors to speak up.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I agree. I absolutely agree.
You have to be in a place to where you feel comfortable and to be able to do that.
Yes.
And to feel like you're ready to talk about something like that. You can't just all of a sudden say, wake up one day, it's like, I need to talk about this. No.
Yeah,
you have to go through a process.
Yes.
Of just talking about it.
Right. As one of those kids that was in that situation as a child growing up, that happened to me. And it happened to me for a very long time. And so even to mention it right now is a big deal because I never would mention it on a public setting because it's there's so much shame in it. But it had happened. And, you know, sometimes adults can not pay attention to things that are going on, especially when it's family. You know, when it's family, they kind of get a pass. And, you know, the kids kind of get lost in that. So I just want to mention that. So I get where his pain and what he went through, but I'm a young lady that went through it, not a young man that went through it. Horrible though, absolutely horrible. So I just want to mention that. Yeah, we got to take the stigma out of that and you know, make sure you watch your kids. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, you got to watch your kids. I was very overbearing with my children. Not in a bad way, but you can babysit my kids. And my kids didn't go to daycare. Thank God I was one of those parents that had, you know, their father with them. So we would switch off because I didn't trust anyone with my kids. You know what I mean?
You know, because you don't know who they are.
And after what I went through, I was like, I don't want my kid to have to ever go through. And I have boys, you know what I mean? So I want to make sure that they had a nice, innocent childhood and that this shit didn't happen, you know? Right. So kudos to Drake Bell for, like I said, speaking up and showing his face. I was shocked by that.
I'm happy that he did, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what, though, Rossi, you talked about Drake. It takes tremendous courage for you to even speak up about something like that that's so close to you as well. So I know that we're centering around, you know, the doc and stuff like that. But, you know, I just want to say that took courage and people can actually, you know, just.
Yeah, I feel like I can exhale. You know what I mean? Because I was like, you know, watching this, I was like, you know, I don't know. First of all, I don't know if I want to do it because it's the sexual abuse.
It opens up some wounds.
Okay. And just to show itself. But it's like, how can I review this and talk around it? So I was like in my head right now, like, should I say it? Should I not say it? So I'm just going to say it, you know, since we're talking about it and just, you know.
I feel like within the community that we're trying to establish here, you're in a safe place to where you can actually open up.
Right.
And our listeners and listening to our YouTube and also to me and also to the YouTube channels. And stuff like
right.
That
thank you, John.
Very welcome. And, you know, you mentioned the fact that, you know, this is a 4 or 5 part episode.
Yes.
I feel like it needed to be that a once a week show. And I always say I like once a week shows because it's easy to digest. You can actually break down things a lot easier.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. With a show like this, you need to have it once a week.
Yes.
Because of the fact it's such a heavy show, you need to take a deep breath.
Right.
Just let that part digest.
Right.
And set yourself up for the next episode that they have.
Right.
Because if you just binge it, you're not getting the full experience out of it.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And that's how I feel about it. I feel like if it was just a bingeable show and everything.
I do agree with you. And like I said, I've learned so much, you know, how it works, how a set like that works, what it's like to be on a set like that, what it's like to be on a set like that as a woman at that time in history, you know what I mean? Trying to write for a show like that, you know what I mean? Not even that, the cameraman. Like, when Dan was having those bad days, everyone on the set felt that, you know what I mean? Remember, they had scenes where they were the new season of all that, the kids had that one skit where they were talking about Dan's everything. Dan's the best. Dan's the greatest. Who's the greatest guy there? It's Dan. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what I felt like, though, now after watching that? It felt like Dan was squeezing their hands to say that I'm awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Right.
Come on, kids. Say that I'm awesome. You're not doing it good. Squeeze it harder. That's what it felt like to me. It felt like that he was trying to force him to say how awesome he was, to kiss, right. kiss his ass, because he knew that that was his gateway. Also, too, sneaking up on the actress and everything, too, camera and being creepy with that.
Right. These are young ladies. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing?
And you can't say anything. You can say, hey, look, that made me feel uncomfortable. Rob, you know,
right.
You know? I'm just trying to lighten the mood a little bit, like, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's like, I know he was like,
but it's like, you're making me feel uncomfortable, Rob, Bob. You know, how about I shut that camera up your ass, Bob, for making me feel uncomfortable? You know what I say? Yeah, he needed his ego stroke. Yep, that's exactly right. Ego. Look how awesome I am. Look at the cast I have. If it wasn't for the cast, guess what? They wouldn't be here right now. Look how
let me tell you. Let me tell you this, though. Let me tell you this, because I did a lot of research. But this is what happened. This is what happened, y'all. In the wake of the Me Too movement, though, details of his alleged sexual misconduct and gender discrimination allegations towards Nickelodeon employees, many of them underage, were made public were made public beginning in 2018. In response to the accusations, Nickelodeon ended their longtime partnership with Snyder. After a three-year hiatus, he discussed writing and selling a new pilot to different networks. The Investigation Discovery docuseries, Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, detailed numerous allegations against him in a toxic workplace environment, which he has partly denied. So he denied some of it, but Me Too got him. Yep. That he had to go after that. So
I'm happy about that.
You know, that's a good thing.
Yep. He left in 2018. I'm happy about that.
Done.
But yeah, that's everything I had wanted to cover as far as this docuseries goes. But I just want to thank everyone that commented. I want to thank JoJo for always commenting and giving us some love over here. Chronicles of Virgo, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Let's see here. Wants me to get you. It's over.
He got Me Too'd. It was done. You know what sad is? It took 2018. It took that to bring this man down. If not for that, he would have more shows on Nickelodeon and he'd be entertaining today's kids.
No, Rossi, he'd be the CEO board member. He'll be doing everything. Right. So it's like this guy will have all the. You know how sometimes they have like on a thing where it has his name like CEO. This will be CEO, right. Producer,
right.
Casting director.
Absolutely. I absolutely believe that. Yeah. Thank you. Me too. You know.
Thank you so much. One,
you got him.
Same with. He was also still trapped in the closet. Sorry.
Pissing on folks.
Yep.
Pissing on folks.
Yep. All right. PDD. Oh, never mind. So anyway.
Oh my God. Yeah, we will talk about that. I'll do an entertainment news on that.
Yeah. But no, I want to thank my wife, Brandy, for commenting, supporting the podcast as well. Thank you so much. And thank you, Chronicles, for supporting both of us. And of course, Clinton, thank you as always, my friend.
Thank you for coming in the chat, Dave.
So, with that being said, guys, tune in tomorrow night. It's going to be a lot more of a happier setting. We're going to be doing our review of The Breakfast Club. And we're going to have the Made for TV Movie podcast with us. We're going to have Beth with us. We're going to have Zoe from the Backlook Cinema podcast with us. Yes. Rossi's going to be back with me doing this review.
Yes.
This is actually going to be a scene-by-scene review. You're not going to get anything like this at all. What we're going to do is we're going to do this scene by scene. But first, we're going to do nostalgically how we felt about it nostalgically. We're going to give it a rating for that. Then we're going to go on ahead. Once we're done with that, we're going to look at it through adult lenses and rate it, give you that rating on how and what you thought about that as well.
Absolutely.
So that's going to happen at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And of course, go on ahead and give your Pacific Standard Time, Rossi.
What did you say?
It's going to be 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yes. I'm sorry. I was looking up. So I did want to mention, if you guys don't know, you can also check me out on Rossi's Clubhouse. Rossi's Clubhouse is now directed and produced by John and I. Last night, we just finished up an episode with a Sacramento rapper, Tech Trays, a.k.a. The Technician. You guys, that's up on my channel right now. Check that out. Monday the 29th, I have YNG4L. He's coming through on Rossi's Clubhouse Monday the 29th at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Come and check us out. We will be live. And I have a special show on Sunday with an up-and-coming artist out of Los Angeles. He's going to be coming into Rossi's Clubhouse. He's going to be in Sacramento for the weekend. He's going to be performing at Harlow, Club Harlow here in Sacramento. He's opening up for Devin the Dude. Rap a lot, okay? So check me out on Sunday with John, what's his name? Grandview.
Yeah.
Grandview.
And another thing too is I actually got a chance to do a non-spoiler interview for an up-and-coming John Travolta movie that's gonna be released on the 26th of this month. So go on and check that out. I'm also got some other things that I'm doing too. If you guys go on ahead, go to our community page, you guys can vote on what movie you would like for me to review. Now, it's between Tough Times at Richmond High. There's also Fast Times at Richmond High, not Tough Times. That's that's going to be... it's going to be fun to, Fast Times at Richmond High, Bad Boys, the very first Bad Boys movie. You also have Pulp Fiction, and you also have Superbad. That's also going to be another one.
Yeah. But by the way, guys, really quick, Grand View. From L.A., opening up for Devin to do this weekend. Club Harlow, Sacramento, California. We'll be talking to him on Sunday, the 27th.
The 28th, my bad. Awesome. So, guys, don't miss that interview. I promise you, it's going to be fire. It's going to be lit. She's going to bring her A-game on there like she always does.
Absolutely.
And everything, I promise you, you're not going to want to miss this interview. let's see here. Sounds great. Have a great night, y'all.
Have a great Chronicle. Thank you so much, love.
And tomorrow morning, you guys can expect a Deadpool Wolverine reaction coming out as
Absolutely.
Well. So, guys, that's everything here for Movie Lovers Night. Thank you so much for joining us. Always until next time, guys. It's been a pleasure. And found the book, pick up the remote, and we're out.
Bye, guys.
See you, guys.